The Dr. Decker Weiss Show. Now here's your host, one of the leading integrative physicians in the world, Dr. Decker Weiss.
Terrorism and mental health. Is a terrorist a criminal? Or is a terrorist a mental health patient? Or are they somewhere in the middle? With us is Dr. Scott Atran to help us out. He is the author of the book, Talking to the Enemy, Faith, Brotherhood, and the Unmaking of Terrorists. Dr. Atran, welcome to the show. And is terrorism a mental health issue, or is it just common criminals that do bad things?
Well, it's both in some cases, and also a general public health issue. If you look for rampage shooters or lone wolf assassins, they usually do have a history of mental problems, including suicidal tendencies and terrible bouts of depression. But when you look at jihadis, you see a completely different story. These are young people, mostly who are, nobody's really recruited into terrorism. They're self-seekers looking for significance. And although the original 9/11 attackers and many of the original anarchists were middle-class, well-educated engineers, doctors, of late, most of these people are young people in transitional stages in their lives, immigrants, students, between jobs, between girlfriends. Young people have just left their family and looking for a new sort of family in life, and they get involved in these networks where seeking personal significance and glory involves love of their group to the point of killing others. And in a great sense, most of these are normal people. They have no psychopathic tendencies or even sociopathic tendencies within their group. But it's really a public health issue in the sense you've got to deal with the network. Sometimes it's almost like a game of musical chairs. I mean, our law enforcement concentrates on the perpetrators themselves. Of course, they have to. But often the ones who actually carry out the actions just happen to be the ones at that particular moment and that particular time in the network who go for it. Let me just give you go ahead.
No, go ahead. Let's hear your example.
Oh, I was going to give you an example. So we're at Parliament in the United Kingdom, and we have representatives from intelligence agencies all over the world and from the CIA and the FBI. And we're trying to figure out ways to counter terrorism. And General Tito Carnavian, the man who's responsible for hunting down the splinter factions of the Jamaat-Islamiyah, this is an Al-Qaeda associate, that's responsible for the two Bali bombings that killed hundreds of people. He puts up a slide of himself hugging one of the Bali bomber masterminds. His two other brothers were hanged, but this guy repented and helped the authorities try to break the networks, not so much by turning them in, but getting the authorities to understand how these networks grow. And the assistant director of the FBI was with us and saying, you know, that's probably the right approach. But if I ever came out with that in our country, they'd have me hanging by my balls from the dome of Congress.
So you'd get in trouble for doing the best strategy.
That's right. I think the political pressure in the United States is so great that there'd be zero tolerance, you know, like with the next epidemic. You can't have zero tolerance.
So
I want to figure out what really are the causal factors.
So, okay, the guy who kills John Lennon in New York, mentally ill, goes into that type of facility. The kid who survived the Boston bombings, ideally he should be evaluated for mental illness and his ability to form the requisite intent and all that, just like any other criminal. Should be in an ideal world that should be, or if we do that, and I'm talking about in a results or in any way, Dr. Scott, like meaning that if we examine him and find out the kid's mentally ill and we put him in a facility like that, would that help us with the other type of terrorists to go, look, they actually gave this guy a fair trial and found out he's this, or would that hurt us because we would look weak?
I think that if we just concentrate on him and his particular psychopathology, you know, I wrote just the day after for Foreign Policy, I wrote an article on these guys. daughter was talking about conspiracies. It seemed to me like such a classical case of what's going on. The young guy is influenced by his brother, again, in a sort of transitional stage in his life, and gets hooked into this thing. I would bet my bottom dollar almost that the guy's not going to have really serious psychopathology. And putting him on trial, yeah, of course put him on trial. Put him on trial and try to understand what's going on. I mean, the way it's already set up is they're going to try this guy for using a weapon of mass destruction when he used the pressure cooker. I mean, give me a break. The hysteria associated with this is such that I believe that we are counterproductive in our efforts to combat terrorism. And it's spreading among young people, I think, for no reason at all.
Well, we can go into a whole roast of medical reasons why neurotransmitters, toxicity, pressures that we've never seen put on young people at early ages. He was a father with another baby along the way, the brother who was killed. So if you wanted to do the best thing to prevent future terrorism, what would you, with all your expertise, recommend we do with this kid who is the survivor of the bombing, the other kid who carried this out? What would you recommend?
Well, I think in the United States, there's no hope to do anything other than just put him in jail because there's no other mechanism here in this country. But if he were in another country, what I would say is try to get this guy to turn and try to understand why he did what he did and help turn others against it. Again, he knows what went on, and he can help a great deal in turning others away from the path of violence.
Can you do both? Religious education. But could you put him in prison and say, we'll give you a better bunk if you help us with this? Or is it possible? Or maybe in prison he wakes up and realizes what he did is wrong and wants to help. Is it possible to do both? Or once they're in jail, that's it, you throw away the key?
No, I think it's possible to do both, as long as he doesn't get involved in the wrong kinds of networks in jail. Because
so,
one of the things that he's going to attempt to do is find some kind of psychological continence of what he's done in jail itself.
I want to go to the title of your book, Talking to the Enemy, Faith, Brotherhood, and the Unmaking of Terrorists. So if a terrorist, let's say, does have a mental illness, can they be healed? Can you heal them? Can you fix their brain chemistry? Can you unmake a terrorist?
Well, again, I think that if it's part of the sort of network phenomena, you know, the biggest predictor of who gets involved in terrorism is who their friends are and whether they belong to action-oriented networks like soccer teams or whitewater rafting teams or paintball groups. Those you can get by changing their networks, by taking them out of the social networks they're in and trying to get them in a different kind of network. But for those who are rampage shooters, who are lone wolf assassins, it's a different story. There you've got to treat usually psychopathic tendencies, you've got to treat things like deep depression, you've got to treat things like suicidal tendencies. And that really does involve mental health workers and the medical community.
I think it also would involve teachers, primary care practitioners, anybody who's been at any training to spot these kids early in order to try and, you know, even if you have to take them out of society or whatever it is, but to spot these kids early. The kid in Arizona that did this kid had, you know, multiple visits to a psychiatrist. His mother knew the kid was mentally ill, yet he had access to weapons and he got a purpose. You're right. It's a public health issue, at least in part, to do it. Scott, any final words of advice for us?
Yeah, again, I think that we've got to treat this as something that's endemic to the modern world. I mean, we have a vast media-driven transnational awakening where there are notions of injustice around the world. And we've got to give young people, not our own heroes, but models. We've got to support models and heroes.
That's where we got to end it. Dr. Scott Atran, Talking to the Enemy, Faith, Brotherhood, and the Unmaking of Terrorists. Thank you for being on Radio MD and RadioMD.com.